Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
Oh, we got some things to talk about today. What is going on? Bill Ryder with you. Thanks for hanging. Thanks for letting us come into your world. We are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. So many things to unpack, to unwind, to get into. NBA playoffs underway. You knew this was coming, right? The Aaron Rodgers media blitz. Man, I like my life. Feel pretty lucky. I don't like to focus on the people I wouldn't want to be. Why would you want to do that? But I would not want to be Brian Gutekunst, and he has a pretty good job in the world. Wouldn't want to be that guy. And our friends, who I'm always remarkably gracious to, up in Bristol, have given us permission to play some of the sound from Aaron Rodgers' comments. We'll do that probably next hour. And we're going to play a game together. I already did it, but we'll do it together next hour. When Aaron Rodgers starts to talk about why he's not happy in Green Bay, let's count how many times he says the word people together, and let's also see when it gets weird. I would say at number 3, but it's you. You know, let's do it together. We'll hang out together. 855-212-4CBS, speaking of togetherness, call, give your opinion. Love it that you listen. Thank you to so many of you who have been reaching out on Facebook, facebook.com/BillRyderSports, Twitter Sports, Ryder Sports, R-E-I-T-E-R. Appreciate the love and appreciate occasionally the hate. It's all good. Thanks for listening. Tom DiBenedetto, the executive producer, producer_time. Tom, not time. That would be like a different thing. We got time-traveling producer. Not probably a good... That's probably in development at Netflix, and it probably won't be very good. MLB Power Rankings coming up, and sponsored now. Corporate America has paid attention. They said, man, that Ryder guy, good MLB Power Rankings, and he makes fun of Manfred. We want in. We want our dollars behind that. My buddy Jeff Zilgit from USA Today covers the NBA. will be on the program in an hour. We'll do buy or sell. We'll check in with Andrew Bogish. Lots of stuff going on. I've been beating the drum of the Milwaukee Bucks for a minute now, for a while. And I have not understood the level of disrespect and the lack of belief directed toward them. Maybe you understand it. Just, we have such short attention spans. We talk about history and then we obsess over what happened in the last 30 seconds or 2 years. Yes, I know. The Bucks have not won an NBA championship with Giannis as one of the better players in the game. Got it. Aware of it. I'm also aware, as I've said many times, that everybody has failed. I mean, literally, almost everyone has failed. And it would be hard for you to point to a multi-time champion, right? There are some one-offs, like that Boston Celtics team that just got together and got it done. KG, Paul Pierce, Ray Allen, Rondo, company. But Kobe and Shaq, right, had their run pretty early. And then Shaq went away and it took Kobe a minute. LeBron and the Heat struggled. Isaiah Thomas and the Pistons were so pissed off, they didn't shake hands with teams. Thought that was okay when Michael Jordan finally got one over on them. I'm not saying that's who the Bucks are going to be. I am saying to get to the level of greatness that most teams aspire to, you have to go through some failure. The failure in the NBA, to quote Churchill badly, isn't fatal necessarily. Now, a lot of teams fail. Every team but one fails every year. There's no guarantee that just because you failed, you're going to get there. But if you have a two-time MVP, which the Bucks do, if you have a remarkable success rate of home court advantage, which the Bucks do, and you return to fans in person, if you have an aspiring, and I think rising all-star, and I mean at a level of consistency, not just technically got to go to the intramural game where the final scores are 400 to 398 in Chris Middleton, which the Bucks do. And if you add a defensive stalwart and a veteran who's not, as I think Kenny said on the post-game show yesterday, might have been Shaq, might have been Chuck, I don't know. A guy that's not afraid in Drew Holiday, good things can happen. You also have in the Bucks, and I'm going to keep bringing this up because I think it's relevant, and it certainly influences my thinking on the NBA as it relates to my gambling. It's not a catch-all, but it is, I think, an indicator of value. There are three teams in the NBA this season who finished the regular season as a top 10 defensively rated team and a top 10 offensively rated team. One of those teams is the Utah Jazz, and Donovan Mitchell's coming back. One of those teams is the Phoenix Suns. They're up 1-0 on the Los Angeles Lakers right now. And the other is the Milwaukee Bucks. And here's the other thing about the disrespect that's been directed the Bucks' way. And people I like, people I respect, people I follow on Twitter, people who I think know what they're talking about, and I mean a lot of them. We'll see if Jeff Zilgit was one of them. Probably not. Most people overreact. Zilgit's an underreactor. I'll tell you after game 8. There is no game 8, pal. You can tell me after game 7. So many people out there said the Bucks are frauds after game 1. The Bucks aren't the real deal. The Bucks can't get it done. Knew these guys weren't a real challenge. And they won the game. Think about that. The Bucks came out and humiliated the Miami Heat last night, 132-98, because they had a chip on their shoulder for being doubted after a win. I mean, you might see, I don't think you will, but you might see the Portland Trailblazers respond in a massive way, the way Denver did, by the way, because that series now 1-1 after the Nuggets win last night. You very well might see the Clippers, unlikely because Paul George is there. I'm not using the term adult diapers. I'm not. I'm just saying Paul George is there and he gets nervous in the postseason. I'm not. No connection to him. And I think there's a real chance you'll see the Lakers come out forcefully. I think it depends on Chris Paul's health. Although, I'm talking about teams that are coming off a loss and are going to concoct in their brain the notion that's not entirely real. No one respects us. But it's true with Milwaukee. They beat the Miami Heat in overtime and everyone said, I knew they couldn't do it. And the thing about the Heat is, I think the winner of that series, and I know who they play next. I know. I think the winner of Heat Bucks is absolutely capable of beating the Nets. I know the Nets can win that series too. And I think, obviously, all three of those teams, one of those three teams will make the conference finals. But I think all three of those teams are good enough to make the finals. I'm not sleeping on Philly. I'm just saying that's how good the Heat are. They're in that class, especially in the postseason. That's a statement game by Milwaukee. It's a statement game by Giannis. I understand. I get that it's easier to just pick a team and say they're the guys and then make fun of all the other teams. But this isn't the way the NBA is going to work this year. It is going to be chaotic. It is going to be a battle. This thing is wide open. The 76ers have a coach in Doc Rivers who has a history of a lack of success in the playoffs relative to expectations and opportunities. I know. Got it. He won an NBA championship with the Celtics 50 years ago or whatever it was. I got it. I'm there. The Brooklyn Nets are overwhelmingly talented and wouldn't shock me if they lift that trophy. But there's also the fact they haven't played together, the fact they don't play defense, and the fact that we saw, by the way, for stretches of the first half before they flipped the switch, that certainly Kyrie and Harden are capable of going 1 of 7 over long stretches late in games. Durant can go 9 of 23. He can also just take over any moment of a game and just score 9 straight points or 11 straight points on his own. I got it. They're susceptible all the way around. The Lakers, we've seen why they're susceptible. The Suns, there are a lot of doubters. They're young, and Chris Paul does tend to get injured every single time that there's a championship nearby. I mean, it's like some kind of silly fabled curse, right? You will have chances, and then you will prick your finger on the spinning wheel. That's not what I call a spinning wheel. What is it called? I don't even know what I'm trying to do. Neither does Tom. I just know I've seen it with my kids a thousand times in the background, but apparently it didn't seep through my brain. I don't understand the doubt of the Milwaukee Bucks. I'm not saying that you should bet the mortgage they're going to win an NBA championship. I'm not saying that you even need to believe that they're the best team and the most likely team to come out of the Eastern Conference. But I'm going to go back to what a general manager told me a month ago when I surveyed a bunch of executives around the NBA about the NBA. And really, the conversations began with the Nets. I was doing a piece for CBSSports.com, and I wanted to be reported. And instead of just, here's what I think, I wanted to talk to people around the league. And just the question was, what are the Nets and what are they going to be in the playoffs? And people are interested in that, including general managers, right? It's an interesting topic. And it sparked a broader conversation about the state of the league and really the state of the Eastern Conference. And a GM from the East, who I respect, who's really good at what they do, who runs a pretty good basketball team, his perspective, and it wasn't a universal one, but far from it, but his perspective was there are 5 or 6 teams that are good enough to come out of the East. It'll be a tough call as to who's going to be the team. It'll have to do with matchups and health and just who can close out games in some of these series. And that's the right perspective. The truth is, none of us, myself included, should probably say the Nets can't win. The Heat can't win. The Sixers can't win. And you certainly shouldn't be saying the Bucks can't win. They have a 2-time reigning MVP. They added Drew Holiday, who I know it's easy to have missed over the last many years because he's been in a basketball purgatory down in the Big Easy. But that dude does everything the hard way. He is a defensive force. And you can kind of see just the way these guys have a different kind of swagger this year. And I think there's a few reasons for that. I think one, that bubble was not conducive to their success. And by the way, tough you know what, but that's the way it is. They are a better team that they can play at home. Giannis talked about it, and they weren't the dominant home team this year in the regular season that they were last year and that Philly was this year. I get it. I got it. But they have a different level of swagger. And the addition of Drew Holiday, and to, I think, a similar extent, although not as many minutes and not the same impact in the box score, is P.J. Tucker. There's a toughness now to the Bucks. You know, one of the things that Denver did to Portland yesterday, and we'll hit that game if we have time. I want to get in a little bit to just, can the Lakers, will the Lakers win the series? But one of the things that Denver did yesterday to Portland is they had more dog. They had more fight. It's so easy and such a cliche to say, We just wanted it more, right? People say that, and I think to myself, what are they talking about? Everybody wants it. But there was something to it. Denver beat, and by the way, Michael Malone, not going to call him Mikey, not Mikey Malone. To be fair, Tim Bontemps comes on here and calls me Billy, which is basically like him calling Brian Windhorst jackass. Like, not really the right name. So I get it. It happens. Mistakes happen. Now, don't be mad at Timmy. He's a character over at ESPN. This is Michael Malone who pointed this out. Last night's game, second game, Denver's points in the paint advantage over the Trailblazers, 54-32. Second chance points were 21-4. Fast break points were 16-4. Michael Malone said this. Those are hustle stats. That's passion stats. That's blood and sweat and tears and wanting it more. The Bucks wanted it more yesterday. Not in the sense that they go to sleep dreaming more vivid dreams of a championship than Jimmy Butler and company. They just put in the effort and the heart and the focus, and they were tougher. Now, it's a long series. And the old mantra, series doesn't begin till a home team loses a game, is kind of true. But Milwaukee's up 2-0 against a team I think is good enough to make an NBA Finals, and they made it last year. So let's just give Milwaukee a little bit of respect, put a little respect on their name. Sixers can come out of the East. Brooklyn can come out of the East. The Miami Heat can come out of the East. There's probably, I don't personally think the winner of Atlanta, New York is going to come out of the East, and I think that winner is going to be Atlanta. In five or six? I think it could be five. But there are people who think I'm wrong. I mean, there are certainly smart people who think Atlanta's chances aren't zero. They wouldn't put them at 10. I think Atlanta's chances are probably zero. I think the best comp for Atlanta is a younger and deeper version, but a less dangerous version of the Trailblazers a couple years ago. Maybe the seas part a little bit, and they can scoot through to the conference finals, and then reality comes crashing down. And by the way, if the Celtics weren't playing the Brooklyn Nets, and or if Boston wins a game they shouldn't today and just the momentum shifts, I think that's a team. I don't think it's going to happen, but that's a talented enough team that if they can just figure out how not to, what's the word I'm looking for this year, suck, that is something I think they're capable of too. And the Bucks can come out of the East. They just beat the holy hell out of the Miami Heat. They beat them by 34 from start to finish. So let's just pull back on the Milwaukee can't win this thing card. Come on. 855-212-4CBS is the phone number. Lakers Suns tonight. Lakers down 1-0. Pressure mounting. LeBron eyeing a way to exert his will on the series. Chris Paul may or may not have one arm. I don't know. I'm going to walk you through who the favorite is, who's going to win the series, and I'll put Tom and Andrew on the spot and make them make a prediction. I'm sure Bogus is going to go be crazy. I would bet everything on earth that I own he takes the Lakers. I'm just going to say. Everything I own. Okay, that's not true, but I would bet $100. 855-212-4CBS is the phone number. We'll keep talking some hoops next year on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
Welcome back into the show. Bill Ryder with you. What's up? Thanks for hanging out. Appreciate you. Sunday on CBS, English Titans collide with the European crown on the line as Manchester City takes on Chelsea in the Champions League final. Get set for the showdown at 1:30 Eastern, 10:30 Pacific with UEFA Champions League today. UEFA Champions League final Saturday on CBS. That is a great pre-post halftime show, by the way. Champions League today, what they put together at CBS, is almost as good as what you see on TNT with Ernie and Chuck and Kenny and Shaq for its particular sport. Sometimes we'll do a golf read. We didn't do one today. But I don't know if you saw this. Brooks Koepka was being interviewed after the PGA. And Bryson DeChambeau walked by, and they don't like each other. And it was the most. Tom, did you see this viral video?
Yeah.
Just the Koepka rolls his eyes, loses his train of thought, and the disdain pours off him in waves. then has to stop the interview because it's a, you know, it's not live. And he says to the guy, I can't take this effing BS. Can we just do it again? And like, it was just, it's, if you haven't seen it, if you're looking for something to make you happy, right? For me, it's usually a go-to of just The Karate Kid, the final scene, or I'll watch the very last episode of that HBO drama that I'm totally drawing a blank on the name that's based on the Murdoch family.
Succession?
Succession.
There we go.
God, so good. And now I'm going to add Brooks Koepka and the hate he has for DeChambeau just pouring off him in waves on camera. It was magical.
That's it. And camera in front of the media, that much disdain pouring out of him. Imagine behind closed doors.
There was some comment. It's hard to hear the guy, but it's like, oh, you know, we'll probably use this. And he goes, I don't care. I mean, somebody leaked it clearly from Golf Channel, or maybe Koepka just like, I don't care. Go for it. It's, I mean, I haven't seen that kind of disdain. I'm trying to think since Chris Paul looked at me in our sit down interview. And since some members of Lori's family looked at me at our wedding when I started dancing, that might've been awe. It's hard to tell. It's kind of hard to tell the difference. There's also some disdain out there for LeBron. And there's this push and this pull with LeBron James between those that don't want to or are just smart enough to not doubt the man and those who are rooting so much for his difficulties. We're going to go through here who I think is going to win the series. Then we're going to put Bogish, the edgy one, and Mr. DiBenedetto on the spot and just do a pick. And by the way, I should know better. I wrote a column that somebody graciously brought up on the radio. I can't remember who it was. It wasn't Will Brinson. I wrote a column after the Patriots' second loss to the Giants in the Super Bowl from Indianapolis that said, is this the end of Brady? No, but it might have been the end of me and my career. Luckily it wasn't. I have way too often on television and in writing, and I'm sure on radio, doubted the Spurs. Now, that is proven, obviously, to run its course, but I was doubting that team well before I should have. And I've certainly doubted LeBron before. I'm almost positive I wrote a column after the Warriors got up 3-1 in that 2016 NBA Finals that you could crown them the greatest team of all time because it was all but done. And, of course, Tom Brady and what he just accomplished in a vacuum, right? Separate from the long drought between his second-to-last Patriots Super Bowl and his last, or I guess his third-to-last and his second-to-last. It's too many to keep track of. Just the Tampa Bay run is amazing. And I don't doubt LeBron. I think he's still the best. I think LeBron James is the best player on earth. He is the best player on earth. And his ability to put maximum pressure on championship-level teams largely by himself is absolute, and it's unparalleled. But LeBron needs help. Everybody needs help. LeBron needed Ray Allen to hit that three against the Spurs to win that series. LeBron needed Kyrie Irving to hit that shot against the Warriors in Cleveland to win that series. That's not a criticism. Jordan needed Paxson. Jordan needed Kerr. Jordan needed Pippen. Jordan created, I think, the culture and the idea that you have to step up. And for Jordan to give you the rock, I think, over the course of what was to go through a Michael Jordan mental boot camp, for him to pass you the ball if you're Paxson or Kerr was its own boost of confidence. I have no doubt that's true. And LeBron has a different approach, but he makes guys better. LeBron needs help. He needs help now. And it's not a lot to ask Anthony Davis to be that guy. But if you watch that first game, the biggest issue for me with the Lakers wasn't the lack of depth beyond those two guys. Wasn't, and I know one of my colleagues at CBSSports.com like hit this aggressively, the spacing for the Lakers. I think we wrote 400 stories on it or sent out 400 alerts. And it's interesting. But I've covered enough LeBron James games to know that the spacing doesn't always work because as good as LeBron is at assists, he has remarkably high ISO rates and guys spend a lot of time watching him, right? Watching what he's going to do. And they people just don't move when they play with LeBron for whatever reason. It's not the spacing. I mean, it's part of it, but it's also a symptom of LeBron James-led teams. It's always been true. It's true in Miami when I covered that team. LeBron and Wade play the same position. They don't space. It's true in Cleveland. Highest ISO rate in the league. There's not a lot of space. And again, I'm not making fun of the guy who wrote it. A guy named Sam Quinn is a very incredibly talented young NBA writer. I just think there's more going on than just that. And it's this. LeBron James needs his co-star to play like a star. And Anthony Davis abdicated any kind of emotional investment, effort, courage in the first half of that game. And here's the other thing. Anthony Davis is not 6'5", right? He's not built like Dwayne Wade. He's not a guard, even if he has a pretty good handle and can do a lot of things. He is a modern-day big who can do everything. But everything sometimes means when you're playing a team like the Suns, whose front court defensively is about as daunting as me, Bogish, and Tom, get down there and go to work, dude. And when the Lakers didn't have LeBron several weeks ago and had to beat the Suns in a game where the Lakers were losing game after game after game after game, AD had 42 points and went to work in the paint. In the first half, he wasn't even present. He wasn't even around. I think the way that, again, Chuck or Kenny put it, they were floating through the game. That's a nice way to put it. Floating through the game sounds like you're having a nice little moment. He was hiding from the game. So that is a huge question mark for me. And I understand why we fall in love with talent, right? We fall in love with beautiful people. We fall in love with talented actors. We fall in love with the talent of athletes. In my business, people fall in love with talented radio hosts or writers. But the talent's really hard to find. Guy that I used to be really close to, who now I mercifully don't speak to, said that there's not a talent pool, there's a talent puddle. I think that's right. But talent alone doesn't get you there. The NBA is littered with talented guys who can't go to the next level. Anti-Damian Lillard guys, right? Damian Lillard's talented, and he's just not surrounded by guys who give him the depth he needs. Anthony Davis is talented, but I've spent a lot of my career, and you spend a lot of your time, if you're an NBA fan, watching his teams in New Orleans underperform. There are a lot of teams that have one star that at least make the playoffs and are competitive. And with all respect to CJ McCollum, you could argue that's the case in Portland. They've made a conference finals. So the abdication of Anthony Davis is a real concern. There's also just the reality that this is a much different Lakers roster than it was last year. But to me, the whole thing comes down to is Chris Paul healthy? I think the Suns are good enough to beat the Lakers. I do. I didn't have the guts to take them. I also had the wherewithal not to bet on either of these teams. So I'm going to go here. And it's kind of a cop-out. If Chris Paul is healthy, if he's not, Chris Paul's a righty. If Chris Paul doesn't have to play left-handed this series, I think the Suns are going to win. And I think the Lakers become more and more dangerous as they win series in a way that transcends how that's normally true. I think it's momentum by a proportion of 1,000. Because a lot of it's really hard, and I can speak to this having covered LeBron and been around these guys. It's not a criticism, it's just a reality. LeBron, if you've ever been around somebody at a work setting who's so dynamic and such an alpha, and so important to the company, and isn't a bad person, but doesn't connect with people well, and it becomes intimidating to the culture, and then you go out and you get drunk with the guy, and then the guy treats you differently, right? And this is what sport. LeBron intimidates everyone that plays with him. And it's hard to feel comfortable in your own skin around LeBron James, on the floor and in the locker room, until you've sort of gotten into the groove. And there is no groove this year for the Lakers. Can Alex Caruso do it? Yeah, he did it last year. But not true for Andre Drummond, not true for Matthews, not true for a lot of these guys. You beat the Suns, I think it'll be a different Lakers team in terms of continuity and rhythm. I also, and I've said this, I would take the Suns over any team in the first round other than the Lakers. I would have. Any team. You name a team in the Western Conference, had they matched up against that team, I would have taken the Suns. You know, presupposing maybe that's a mistake, a healthy Chris Paul. But if Chris Paul's healthy, the Suns are a better team. Devin Booker is exactly what LeBron needs. He's a guy that can just go out there and get buckets. Well, Chris Paul, if he's healthy, is going to get easy buckets for DeAndre Ayton. Bridges is going to play better. There's a lot of depth in that team, and Chris Paul puts guys in spots, including Booker, because you can't double-team Devin Booker. Chris Paul's going to look to pass, but he'll knock down those shots. But there were moments in that first game, especially when Chris Paul got hurt, where Devin Booker just took the rock, had double teams, created space, hit shots. Different kind of player. But what Damian Lillard can do in the playoffs, what Jokic did in the playoffs yesterday, what Trae Young did against the Knicks in the playoffs, right? That ability to just go get buckets and not be afraid, Devin Booker can do that, and he's the second most important player on the team. I'm taking Suns. I'm going Suns. They're up 1-0. I'm going Suns. I want to push Bogus's back. Because Bogus is edgy. I mean, he knows where he's going. Start with Tom DiBenedetto. Not as edgy. Not that you're not an edgy man, Tom.
I can get it. I can ramp it up to edginess. It's not my default setting.
You don't live there like Andrew.
Exactly.
You visit.
Exactly.
Hey, Andrew, can I come in? But like, you know.
It's a poetic way of putting it.
You're not the captain of Edgy Town.
No.
Are there any captains of any towns? Would that be a mayor?
Yeah, exactly. There you go.
Does that
think
that's
of
a
what
ship?
You're looking for. Yes.
All right.
I don't know. I feel like I can't quite jump off the ship completely because I did pick them to win the West. I no longer think the Lakers are going to win the West. I know better than to doubt LeBron. You just got into all this. And he has been terrible in game ones many times. His teams have been bad in game ones many times over the course of his long career. They've saved so many series that looked like they were going south right away. But this is different. Something is different here. They're not in rhythm. I don't think their rotation is quite ironed out yet. I actually think they're more talented, clearly, as a complete team than they were last year. I just don't know that they're built as well, if that makes sense. And I don't think LeBron physically looks right. He has mastered late in his career and ramping up physically for the playoffs, and he didn't have the opportunity to do that because of the injury this year. I don't think they're going to make it. I'll say they find a way to win this series. I can't imagine that they are going to suffer the humiliation of going out here.
It would be awesome.
And you're right, Chris Paul needs to be healthy. But if Chris Paul is healthy, Booker is a nightmare. He is a nightmare for the Lakers. They have nothing to counter that instant offense from Booker. And if he has an amazing series that he, you know, looks like he might have and really steps up to that next bordering on or actually superstar level, they will beat the Lakers.
Yeah, I think Lakers-Suns is a lot like Heat-Bucks. I think both of those teams are so dangerous against anybody, but only one of them can move on. The Suns team reminds me so much of the Raptors from a couple years ago. It seems different on the surface, but the Raptors had almost broken through. Not true for the Suns, but they went undefeated in the bubble last year and were trending in a great, great direction. And in each case, you brought in these unique personalities who are, in Kawhi and CP3, who are clearly remarkable as individuals and unique as leaders, right? As they have a unique impact on their locker room. So they have to be in the right locker room. We've learned that with both those guys. And Chris Paul's in the right place, and it was the right place for Kawhi. But unlike the Raptors, right, the Raptors' big challenge against Philly and the Raptors' big challenge, you know, in the finals, the Warriors got hurt. I mean, the big challenge for the Suns comes in the first round. It's such a test. Andrew Bogus, all the buttons are buttoned. The golf shirt all the way to the top. Doesn't that hurt your neck? No, leave it. Do it.
The top button is not buttoned.
It looked like it was. Are you sure?
100%. I'm not that much of a nerd. I'm a nerd,
you got two
but
of them,
not that level.
You have two of them, though, buttoned. I got it. But it's
I
a
did,
really tight
the
collar.
One, the middle one was unbuttoned, and then I looked down on myself, and it was like open. Ooh. Like I was John Travolta, so I figured I should
try to close that bad boy up. Like me, there's not a lot of taco meat there. Noticed that. When you go in to get your shirts done, do you go extra starch? Like, I need this collar to be razor sharp.
No, I do not ask for extra starch, thankfully.
You just wear it that way. Good for you.
Oh, yeah. It's natural.
It wears well on you, sir. All right. What we got here?
I think I might have said Lakers in 7 last week before all this started. I'm going to go Lakers in 6. I just, none of it makes sense. But here's the thing. My thought might be completely different tomorrow because now game 2 matters so much more than game 1. Because as Tom said, the Lakers have a history of being bad in game 1. I think it was in each of the first 2 rounds last year, they won game 1. And then I think they might have won the next 4 games each time. So like, I don't know. And plus, you factor in what this team is going through now with LeBron and Davis barely playing together for the last, whatever that was, 6 weeks, 8 weeks. So, like, that was even a worse game one than normal. If the same things happened tonight in game 2 that happened in game 1, then we talk. But I think abandoning the Lakers and LeBron right now off of game 1 is is the wrong move. I think they can survive Booker, by the way, being Booker, if Anthony Davis doesn't get outplayed by DeAndre Ayton. That's the thing that cannot continue to happen in this series. Lakers have a chance, obviously, and even Davis said that. So I still can't pick against LeBron. So give me the Lakers. Give me the Lakers in six. Might be epic five more games, but I think the Lakers end up surviving this barely and getting into round two.
I mean, I'm either just correcting my lack of guts, I should have taken the Suns, or I'm just hedging my bets because I've got it in writing over at CBSSports.com. The Lakers make the finals. One of the two are definitely. I really want to take the Suns. And by the way, I think you're both right, probably in large part, because I don't think Chris Paul is going to be healthy because of the way that he played and because he's Chris Paul. I mean, I keep calling Anthony Davis Humpty Dumpty, but to be fair, it's really Chris Paul who gets felled by his own terrible luck again and again and again in the postseason. If he's not healthy, the Suns are that really, really spunky team from the bubble last year that aren't beating anybody. They have to have Chris Paul.
When he was down on the ground and everyone was crowding around him, I mean, it was just like, you got to be kidding me. Is he about to exit this playoffs in the first half of the first game?
Yes. It looked that way. I mean,
it's brutal.
He never turns the ball over, right? That's part of his magic, is it's under the pressure of even playoff basketball. He controls the tempo. He controls the pace. He protects the rock. And the ball kept just popping out. He was trying to hit it, play left-handed, which I hate. I mean, I do. Like, you don't want to see guys lose their chances because of injury.
They need him as a finisher, a finishing option too. Like, he has to be healthy. He's got to do it all. He's got to have a monster series the rest of the way. And that's the biggest reason. If he was fine, I probably would be like, I'm with you. Let's go.
We'll
Phoenix.
Know tonight, because not only we're going to see who wins the game, we're just going to see how Chris Paul plays. Like, I've watched a lot of Suns games. DeAndre Ayton's a much better player than he was last year because of Chris Paul. And Devin Booker is a superstar, no longer trapped on a poor man's version of the Portland Trailblazers. I mean, all the pieces, it's really, really unfortunate. I really wish the Warriors had won that game just so that the Suns and Lakers didn't have to play each other. Because both those teams, I think, deserve to move on. Andrew Bogish, I'm not saying you should pop the collar. You do you. But it would look amazing because it would give a little, you know, a little oomph to the up. The updates already have them. But if you want to, like, really bring it up a little.
So like,
yeah, risky business. Yeah, I do grease lightning. You look good. Yeah. All right. Let's do an update.
And that update, by the way, sponsored by Credit Karma Money. Go to creditkarma.com/winmoney to sign up for free and start winning instant karma. That's creditkarma.com/winmoney. We've known Aaron Rodgers was unhappy. We didn't know exactly why, and we still don't know everything, but Rodgers told Kenny Mayne on SportsCenter last night the organization might have lost its way a bit.
History is important. Legacy of so many people who've come before you. But the people, that's the most important thing. The people make an organization. People make a business. And sometimes that gets forgotten.
Rodgers said drafting Jordan Love was fine with him. How the front office handled making that pick was the problem. He did not say what, if anything, could make him happy again in Green Bay. The Nuggets needed to win after dropping game one at home to the Blazers, and they did win 128-109 despite 42 points from Damian Lillard. 32 of them came in the first half, so Aaron Gordon guarded Dame after halftime. This one featured two flagrants and four techs, just like Michael Malone likes it.
It was chippy, you know, and that's the way it should be. You know, we're both fighting for something, and that's the way the playoffs should be. So I loved it. You know, that's my kind of game right there.
So the Nuggets get to 1-1. The Heat did not. A 132-98 shellacking from the Bucks in their game two. Milwaukee led 46-20 after the first quarter. Giannis, 31 points, 13 rebounds, and 6 assists. Donovan Mitchell and his ankle cleared for game two with the Grizzlies. His teammate, Jordan Clarkson, voted sixth man of the year. Playoff hockey, the Jets finished off their sweep of the Oilers 4-3 in triple overtime, and the Islanders took a 3-2 lead on the Penguins with a 3-2 double OT win to Pittsburgh. The Wild 4-2 winners at Vegas. The Panthers top the Lightning 4-1. Vegas and Florida now down 3-2. And the Leafs won 2-1 in Montreal for a 2-1 series lead. Baseball last night, the Padres 9-game win streak ending in Milwaukee 5-3. And the WNBA has suspended Connecticut GM and head coach Kurt Miller 1 game. He also gets a $10,000 fine for criticizing the weight of Las Vegas center Liz Cambage while complaining to the officials about a non-call against her during a game on Sunday. Bill, back to you.
Hey, Bogus, just real quick, I know we have to go, but circling back to Aaron Rodgers, what about the people, though? Why didn't he get into the people and the people and the people and how the people could be the people? Who are the people?
You flashed eight. Did he say people 8 times in 17 seconds?
You just ruined it. We were going to count. You just did a – I mean, look, you pop a collar and you just run through stop signs, baby. Love your edginess.
Well, stop doing hand gestures while I'm reading an update. I'm trying to figure out what you're doing.
I was trying to do
me.
It backwards so that when you looked at the camera, it, I don't know. Andrew Bogus, we'll talk to you in like 50 minutes. It'll be amazing. I'm excited.
Collar's up.
And Andrew Bogus at Pop Collar Magic. Eat both of those on Twitter. All right, that's like basically just blew through. I blew through all the stop signs too. We have gone very long. So we're going to do a very quick version of MLB Power Rankings, and we'll try to get to these calls that are on the line at 855-212-4CBS next here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
This week's Power Rankings is brought to you by Credit Karma.
Some will rise. Others will fall.
Like 3 years.
Let the ranking begin on Writer Than You's MLB Power Rankings. Number 5.
I actually, you know what? Welcome to the list, New York Yankees. I almost put the Red Sox here over the Yanks. And technically, if you look at the data, Boston's been a better team in almost every way. But the Yankees have won 6 in a row. Their pitching staff is now the 3rd best in baseball, largely behind a bullpen that's been really impressive. Though you know what Gerrit Cole is, and Corey Kluber has really turned it around after having a ridiculous, ridiculous outing. And all the accolades that come with having one of the 321 no-hitters this year. This is a Yankees team that is playing really good baseball. You knew they were going to get there. I don't want to talk about everybody. I don't have time. Aaron Judge has been an absolute machine. The Yankees are where we knew they were going to be eventually, and it turned out it was even before June, and that's in the picture.
Number 4.
Look, their manager is a moron. Wasn't a moron back in the day, but is a moron now. Tony La Russa is their manager. They would be number 1 if it wasn't for Tony La Russa. But this is a team that can hit. This is a team that can pitch. Now, it's not okay that they've been doing things successfully. And there's going to be a price to pay for that in the family. It's not okay that they've had some accomplishments. And like when they step into the batter's box, they hit home runs and score runs. Or when guys go to the mound, they strike guys out. It's going to be dealt with. Okay, don't worry. There's going to be a punishment for the success. But the success is still happening. The White Sox are legit. Watch out. That's the real team in Chicago.
Number 3.
Tampa Bay is on freaking fire. Have jumped all the way up to the 4th best run differential in baseball. They're not just winning, they're winning handily. They have the 2nd best offense in the game and the 8th best pitching staff. In a division that there are 2 divisions that have 5 of the best 6 teams in baseball. Tampa Bay, one of those teams. Love this small market story, and this is the story that's been true forever. They have a culture like the Cardinals, and they have a farm system that you have to have in a market that size. Give the entire organization credit. They're the real deal.
Number 2.
I got asked by a buddy of mine who's a Dodgers fan whether I think the Padres squandered a chance to really, like, pull away when the Dodgers had their little struggle, and I said no. Both those teams are going to, you know, maybe they'll lose some games, but they're the 2 best teams in baseball. The Padres are here. They had the best pitching staff in the game. They're still trying to figure out their offense. It's good. It's ninth, I think, in run scored. But if you watch as many games as I do, you know they also already have this shared level of belief. They look like the Dodgers have in years past and the Astros when it turned out it's because they were cheating. They think they're the best team in the game. They think nobody can beat them. They believe and they have the talent to back it up. Padres would be top of the list if it wasn't for...
Number 1.
What, 7 in a row, 10 of 11, Walker Buehler, Clayton Kershaw who goes tonight, Trevor Bauer. They're missing a bunch of their position players, and still the Los Angeles Dodgers just keep scoring runs. Dominated the Giants team. That's very, very good. I don't think they're a cream of the crop anymore, but that's a really good second-tier baseball team. Dodgers are 4th in run score. They're 2nd in earned run average. They have by far the best starting rotation in baseball. They have depth in that starting rotation if they have to rest guys or their injuries. They've got a bunch of guys that are going to be coming off the IL. Remember Zach McKinstry, that random dude who was really good? He's doing his thing. I think it's Triple-A Oklahoma City. He'll be back this weekend. I mean, I won't go through the whole roster. The Dodgers are utterly and totally amazing, and I'm not going to give any of you a chance for honorable mention. You want to be mentioned in the power rankings? Be better. This week's power rankings were brought to you by Credit Karma. Go to creditkarma.com/winmoney to sign up for free and start winning instant karma. That's creditkarma.com/winmoney. I like money, and I believe in karma. Credit Karma, I'm there. It's like all the good stuff together. It's like a peanut butter cup.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
He is Jeffrey Zilgit, national NBA writer extraordinaire for USA Today, my friend, and a very talented dude, who also, by the way, sources tell me, is an amazing foodie, sources being me. I've been out to eat with him. And sources tell me, I don't know this personally, a great fly fisherman who has yet to teach me how to fly fish. Because we've never hung out together near a river. Hello, Jeff Zilgit.
Hey, what's up, Bill? Hope you're doing well.
I'm good, man. So, have you figured out? Are you traveling this time around? Are you waiting for the finals? What's your plan this continually weird year?
Yeah, it's sort of all up in the air. So, I live in the D.C. area, so I may go to a couple Wizards home games here in the first round. Depending on what happens in the second round, obviously, you know, both Philadelphia and New York are quick trips for me for either, the Brooklyn Nets or the New York Knicks. And so there may be some spot second round in-person coverage. And then, you know, we're sort of playing it by ear, Bill, and maybe by the conference finals, I'm out full time traveling, through the end of the playoffs and the NBA finals. So, and we're sort of playing it by ear. But look, I think you know this, and this is not a complaint as much as it is a lament, is that, a really great part of our job is talking to people in person. And that's just not players. It includes coaches, scouts, executives. And with some of that ability taken away, because, I presume that, the rest of the year press conferences are still going to be on Zoom and no in-person interviews, is that, it makes our jobs a little bit more difficult. We thrive on getting that insight and behind the scenes information that's a little bit more difficult. And so, look, I'll make the best of it for sure. But we're sort of playing everything by ear.
Jeff Zilgit here on the show. Jeff, it's early, and you know better than anybody that you can't overreact to the first game of a playoff series, particularly in the first round, the opening round of the NBA playoffs. That caveat said, that exception put out there. Are there any matchups where you're looking and you think an upset is reasonable or even likely?
Well, Bill, is a 7 over, or if a 2 beats a 7, is that considered an upset?
I think it is. Well, technically, because the Lakers are favorites. Yeah, where do you come down on Suns Lakers?
Look, Bill, I've been saying this for a couple weeks. I'm not saying the Lakers are in some deep danger. I think they have a really, really difficult road to get back to the finals in this particular matchup, and I'm not overreacting, but Phoenix is really good. And not only do you have, all NBA player in Chris Paul, all-star Devin Booker, an emerging young big and DeAndre Ayton, who I think benefited tremendously from having Chris Paul this year, it's a well-coached team with Monty Williams, and they have depth. They know how to play well together, and so I think they present some challenges for the Lakers, and I see that being a very competitive series. Outside of that, Bill, I do really like how Portland and the Denver series will probably play out. In terms of major upsets, though, I'm not exactly seeing it on my radar right this minute. I think Utah is going to rebound against Memphis, but I love the way Memphis plays. They're a good young team, another well-coached team. Bill, I've probably said this before, because obviously it's a players' league, but I think coaches have such a guiding hand in making sure that players are given everything at their disposal to be successful, and I think Taylor Jenkins does that with the Memphis Grizzlies. I'm not saying they're going to beat Utah. I think Utah will bounce back. Donovan Mitchell comes back after that sort of strange saga And you know, but I do like that series and the way Memphis plays. And I've, in general, Bill, you know, liked all the series. I know the Milwaukee Heat game got a little out of control, but that was a, you know, overtime thriller in day one. You know, I'm hitting on a bunch. I don't think the Wizards, you know, stand much of a chance, but it's always fun watching Westbrook and Beal do what they do. And, you know, I think Boston's up against it, you know, when it comes to the Brooklyn Nets.
Jeff Zilgit here on the show. Do you give Miami a chance? A team obviously widely respected, made an NBA Finals last year. They haven't played at home yet. Do you think they still have a fighting chance to win that series, or are you on the Milwaukee train at this point?
I'm on the Milwaukee train. Look, obviously game three is going to be huge. They can't go down 3-0. So they have to get game three, you know, must wins. I don't know, unless the other team has three wins, then it becomes a must win. But
yeah.
It's certainly the kind of game you do need to have. But look, I think, you know, Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo have to anchor that defense. And look, Milwaukee got hot, built 10 of 15 threes in the first quarter. All right. They're not going to do that every game. But I've always thought Milwaukee's had a slow train building up speed this season, as opposed to other seasons where, you know, they made this push, obviously not an 82-game season this year, but in other seasons, you know, they made this push for 60 wins and, you know, having the number one seed. This reminds me a little bit more of some of the Miami or Cleveland teams that, you know, paced themselves and weren't always the number one seed. And so I do like the way Milwaukee's playing offensively, defensively. And so I do think Miami is in a lot of trouble here. And, you know, it's not exactly, I know they made the finals last year, but look, Bill, last night we watched Tyler Hero. He was playing in garbage time. You know, I think he had 17 minutes. That wasn't the Tyler Hero that we had in last year's playoffs, you know, who is an integral part of what the Heat did last year. And he seemed to slip a little bit. So, again, Eric Spoelstra, another great coach, but they certainly have their work cut out against a Bucks team that, you know, probably is playing with a lot more confidence and is probably just better offensively and defensively.
So, Jeff Zilgit, you're saying Tyler a Hero no more is what you're...
I don't know about no more forevermore.
At this moment, I just wanted to make a pun. Forevermore is good, too.
Yeah, we could work in some Led Zeppelin and some Edgar Allan Poe.
you did go Poe.
Right there.
Yeah.
And Nevermore. And so, Bill, at that point, look, I'm not writing him off forever. But I do believe that for this season, he's in a bit of a jam. And the Heat are trying to find a way. You look, they need his kind of scoring. Bill, people look at him as a three-point shooter specifically, or some people do. I thought what he did a great job last year, his ability to create some shots, drive and kick, open things up for other players, and that's just not happening right now the way the Heat would like.
Talking to Jeff Zilgit from USA Today here on the program, national NBA writer. Jeffrey, Atlanta Knicks, I think, is a fascinating series. And again, we're only a game in. And I've got a weird little fascination with and fixation on the Atlanta Hawks. I thought they'd be a top six team this year, and I got lucky because Nate McMillan came in and just utterly, I mean, came in, elevated is probably the right term, and just has been utterly a game changer. And the Knicks are interesting, right? They're obviously heading in the right direction, but I think there's an argument to be made, and I would probably make it, that their game may not translate as successfully to the postseason at this stage of what they're trying to build. But it's early. It's only a game. We all know you lose the first game, the series ain't over. How do you sort of size up, and what do you expect from Knicks Hawks going forward?
Well, look, I have a colleague who just thinks that the Hawks, Bill, are just a flat-out better team across the board when you start adding up, you know, everything that they bring to the table. Obviously, a 4-5, Bill, it's a pretty even matchup. But you hit on something, what you just said about maybe the Knicks aren't ready for this kind of basketball right now. And you know, I don't know exactly what you said by that, but obviously they're a very good defensive team. And that's Tom Thibodeau's calling card for the Knicks and every team that he's coached or been a part of. But today's NBA, Bill, is, I know you need to stop someone eventually, but man, there's just a ton of offense in the league right now. And you know, I think there's a variety of reasons for that. The way last season sort of bled into this season, limited practice time. You don't get to work on defensive concepts in person as much. And so offense has really been a big part of this. And then, I think the Knicks probably don't have enough offense. I know Julius Randle has been great. R.J. Barrett's development has been impressive. Derrick Rose probably on a lot of people's sixth man of the year ballot. It seems every time I'm watching, Reggie Bullock is making a shot for the Knicks, but there's probably just not enough offense for that team. Now, as you said, still early in the series, but with Atlanta getting game one, I don't like to use the phrase, they don't become must-win scenarios, but there are games you certainly need. You don't want to be down 2-0 after the first two games at your place. And I know home court is really starting to alter a little bit now as NBA fans are pouring into stadiums. And to have, you know, to lose two in front of, 15,000 now at home and then going back to Atlanta, you know, that's a predicament for the Knicks if that's the scenario. And, again, I think it's going to be a fun series. Really like watching Trae Young, John Collins, Bogdanovich. There's a lot to like about that Hawks team, including the job that you mentioned Nate McMillan has done.
Jeff, things have gotten a little edgy around the office. Update anchor Andrew Bogut popping his collar and just strutting around. So I'm going to invite you into this really edgy sort of vibe here on the program on CBS Sports Radio and just say, if you were to predict the most likely NBA finals, that would be shocking, right? When you sort of look at the teams, who are the two teams that you think could come out of the East and the West that would be the most surprising but are not an impossibility, right? I think Memphis has a 0% chance to make the NBA finals, for example. I think the Wizards in your backyard have a 0% chance to make the NBA finals. Is there a combo that you think, while not probable, could happen that would be pretty surprising?
Well, look, Bill, heading into the playoffs, and this is before, games started, and so this is a little difficult to say this, I thought the Heat, as a number six seed, could be that team to get there. And in the Western Conference, Bill, I know that, separation between seeds isn't all that great sometimes when it comes to records, but I thought the Clippers in that 4-5 situation with Dallas could get there. I'm probably altering that a little bit based on what I've seen so far. I have a much difficult time now seeing the Heat do that. And I was basing that off, personnel, what they did last year, coaching. But they're in for it right now. Bill, been looking around, does Denver or Portland, it wouldn't surprise me if either one of those teams got to the finals. As well. And so that's sort of what I start to see when I'm looking around. In the East, though, I have a much harder time seeing anyone outside of Brooklyn, Philadelphia, or Milwaukee getting to the finals. It would take a slew of upsets to get there. And in the West, I don't think those upsets would be as dramatic because there's so many good teams there.
Jeff Zilgit, let's say that the Clippers lose this series to Dallas or even advance and just get slaughtered by the Jazz. And certainly could go the other way. I also have the Clippers in my conference finals. But let's just say that the wheels come off a little bit. What do you think, best guess, the future would then hold for that organization?
That's a real tough one right there, Bill, because you would have to start to think, okay, it's been a couple years in a row. Doc wasn't the answer they presumed last year. They hire Ty Lue, and they sort of flame out again. And so, you can keep cycling through coaches, but, they just brought in Ty Lue, so I doubt that's going to happen. Do you start to look to break that up? And does that mean, look to do something, with Paul George? Now, Kawhi can opt out and become a free agent, though. And I think that's something to really, really watch. The reason he left Toronto, ostensibly, and one of the rare guys, and I can't think of another one, who leaves a championship team in free agency to go somewhere else, did that, to be closer to home. He's from the area, and so is Paul George. And so, the Clippers don't have a choice necessarily in trading Kawhi Leonard, but, do they look to, break up that team somehow? And that would probably, depend on what they would get in a haul in return, it would probably alter their championship aspirations for the next couple of years. But if there's that flame out, Bill, and Paul George and Kawhi, can't get out of the first round with, in this season, you do have to look at it. The other alternative I have here, Bill, is that can you chalk it up to the strangeness of the two back-to-back seasons of, you know, what happened last year. We all know the hiatus, resuming in a bubble, playing in a bubble, and then the oddity of this year with, you know, restrictions on what players were allowed to do. As I mentioned before, the lack of practice, games seemingly, you know, every other day, including, you know, some back-to-backs. You know, do you say, boy, this was just an odd season. Let's sort of reset and see what happens next year if they can get Kawhi to come back again. And that does remain a possibility, because I think there's lots of teams that have had a hard time judging what they've done this season based on how weird the season has been.
Jeff Zogut, I am very much looking forward to seeing you in Philadelphia or Brooklyn or Milwaukee in July. It's so weird to say in July in the NBA Finals, but I'll see you then.
Bill, I got places. I know you got places in New York, but I got places in all three cities that
you do.
You know, we can look for dining. So
I'm in. Let's go. Let's do it, buddy. Thanks for thanks for making time.
Milwaukee, underrated food town, Bill. Maybe not a ton of options, but the ones they have, man, pretty solid.
Jeff, I actually have to, I'm in a wedding the day that begins, right, the Friday, the sort of rehearsal dinner, is the day after Game 7 of the NBA Finals. So for that reason alone, go Milwaukee Bucks, because I'm going to be there anyway.
Perfect, Bill.
Thanks, buddy.
Later.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
Can someone tell Miles Teller? Is that that guy's name? The actor. Hey, bro. Let's pick up the strings. I'm a little tune, bro. Can someone tell her him to shh? Making a fool of yourself. Travel miles in someone else's shoes, huh? Those are two terrible puns. But not a, I'm hanging out with Aaron Rodgers, bro. What's going on? Aaron, buddy, you're not coming off as very likable. Although, he is charming. He went on Kenny Mayne's final SportsCenter, which was awesome, by the way. And it was funny, it was cool. But then just, and we'll play it for you, and thank you to ESPN and SportsCenter for letting us play this interview. So we're going to help you count here. I just want you to listen. We're going to play this clip. And Aaron Rodgers is sort of answering the question about what's going on with the Packers. I just want you to listen for two things. One, and we can count along silently in our heads, how many times he says people. And then two, at what point does it just get really weird that he keeps using the word people, and what is he trying to say? Here's the clip.
I think sometimes people forget what really makes an organization. And, you know, history is important. You know, legacy of so many people who've come before you. But the people, that's the most important thing. The people make an organization. People make a business. And sometimes that gets forgotten. You know, culture is built brick by brick, the foundation of it by the people. You know, not by the organization, not by the building, not by the corporation. It's built by the people. And I've been fortunate enough to play with a number of amazing, amazing people and got to work for some amazing people as well. And it's those people that build the foundation of those entities. And I think sometimes we forget that.
Yeah, but what about the people? Why can't we focus on that? Bogus is waving his phone, so I lost track. Was it nine?
It was at least nine. I lost track, too.
Or 10? Yeah, the people. And then we won't play the whole thing, but there's a part where he names every single person on earth that's ever been to Green Bay that was good. Like, you know, the coaching staff was great, and every one of these players, and the guy that sold me the coffee, and there's a lady at the grocery store, and, you know, the people in the hallway. I mean, why don't you just be like, everyone but Brian Gutekunst. That's who I like. That's who's done a really good job. He hates this GM. And friendly reminder, you probably know this, Gutekunst spent, I think, maybe a year or two, a small amount of time as a scout for the Chiefs, but basically has been in with the Packers for two decades. This isn't some outsider who came in and was like, I'm going to change things up. I got my way. The bad blood, maybe it goes way back, maybe it doesn't, but it is hard for me to believe that Aaron Rodgers is going to be a Green Bay Packer based on that conversation. Because, and I've said this before, I'm going to say it again, I think it bears saying, when most people talk, right, when you're hanging out with your friends, when your boss or your new boss is saying something, when you're getting your review, when you're trying to hire somebody, and people say things, you're trying to decipher what's going on and what's the message. And a lot of times people are just talking, right? People like Aaron Rodgers, people like LeBron James, people like Lionel Messi, people like Tom Brady, right? That very, very rarefied level of all-time greatness are utterly aware of their words and what they mean and the power of their words and the rarity at which they speak. Aaron Rodgers knows this. That is a calibrated message. Now, it's a few things. It is a giant verbal middle finger to the GM of the Packers. He's trolling. It wouldn't shock me if at some point in some conversation, Gutekunst said something that offended Rodgers and used the word people in it randomly, right? Like, you know, I got to tell you, I mean, Aaron, people like you, and right? And Rodgers like, oh, people like me, huh? There's people like me. There's something going on here. It's hard to believe that he is going to be a Packer, which means the best quarterback in that division is going to be quarterback two, we're told, of the Chicago Bears, Justin Fields. I mean, it's just amazing. The world is a magical and beautiful place. Oh, I don't even know where I want Rodgers to go. I actually want him to stay in Green Bay. I'm not a Packers fan. I'm a Bears fan. But I got family all over Wisconsin. And the fact is that organization, whatever's going on with the GM notwithstanding, if they had luck, yeah, that organization deserves Aaron Rodgers. And I don't mean the actual Packers organization. I can't believe I'm going to say this. I mean the people of Green Bay. The people, Aaron. They're great fans. They're incredible football fans. But I think he's leaving. And even though Denver doesn't deserve him at all, it would be a lot of fun to see Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes battle a couple times per year. And you talk about how the package that can be sent back has to be massive, and maybe the Packers can hold their ground. And I can't get into Aaron Rodgers' brain, but if Andrew Luck can walk away from the game without a ring, right? And Andrew Luck was not trying to damage anyone, to hold things over anyone, right, to play power games. He just was over the game. Great story in The New Yorker right now about burnout and whether or not it's real, whether it's psychosomatic, whether it's over or under diagnosed, gets in the history of how basically people in our time in America have never worked so little and thought they've worked so hard, which is probably true. Like, we're not mining coal, you know, we're not working, there aren't 12-year-olds working 60-hour weeks like you might have had 100 years ago. It's super fascinating. Whatever the reality of burnout is, Andrew Luck got burned out, right? Whatever that means, whatever he thought it means, whatever we all think it means. Aaron Rodgers likes playing. He just won an MVP. But I think that's where the power is. If Aaron Rodgers just, like, walks away, if the Packers say, no, we won't trade you, and Aaron Rodgers says, cool, I'm done, that may short-circuit Aaron Rodgers' career by 2 or 3 or 4 years. I get it. But two things are going to happen. One, he will ruin Gutekunst's career. The Packers can withstand that. The GM can't. Can't. It will destroy his career. He's done. Unless Jordan Love, who Rodgers called a nice kid, is a top 10 quarterback next season, which I'm going to go on a limb. I'm going to say no. Hashtag hell no. As my son Henry would say, hell no. Unfortunately, there's other things that he says too. Gotta work. I love that kid. Gotta work on that. And the other thing that happens is that, again, can you imagine at this point, right? Would the Colts take Andrew Luck back? Of course they would. But they'd also, if Andrew Luck came to them and said, look, I don't want to be a Colt, but I'll come back, would they trade him for less than they would have served? Yes. He's already gone. Yes. Give first round pick. Let's go. Aaron Rodgers will win, and he'll win if he steps away. Gutekunst will be ruined. And the Packers will cave in a year or two. And you can say, he's getting up there in years, but Tom Brady has shown us you can play a lot longer than we thought. And while it is the years, it's also somewhat the miles. I don't know Aaron Rodgers. I know people that know him. And I have friends who have made armchair psychological evaluations of where he's coming from. I don't know. But I wouldn't bet on Aaron Rodgers to swerve. I just wouldn't. I don't think he's swerving. That smile, that haircut. I mean, if he can sit through Miles Teller's social shenanigans, if he can like smile and pretend that's cool, I'm sure he can steer down the Green Bay Packers. I used to like Miles Teller too. But then I saw that clip and Andrew Bogus had to hear the puns and it just, everything changed. Bogus, you're right? Is your phone on fire? Oh, I have like six text messages. Are these from you? Nope, they're from my daughter.
It might be. Small mini technical panic. I wasn't sure that I wasn't connected. I was afraid you were going to talk to me and you could see me sitting here.
Uh-oh.
But I wouldn't be able to respond, so I didn't want you to be confused or me to miss a cue or something, so I was just trying to get Tom's attention.
So in other words, it's a Tuesday. Yeah.
You could text me.
Yeah. I guess I could, but you couldn't fix my problem, so you would just know about it, but I guess I could give you a heads up next time.
It would, in theory, stop me from throwing to you, though.
That's true.
Then you'd both be waving your phones at me. Both of them.
Yeah, you're waving your phones. I get excited. I'm like, oh, Aaron Rodgers got traded. Bogus is really waving the phone. It's my daughter saying she loves me on her way to school.
See, I wouldn't tell you that. I'd save it for me. I'm selfish. I want to keep that in my update. If I told you ahead of time, then you would steal it. Then I'd have nothing to do. So I would keep that to myself.
Selfish Bogus. Popping the collar. Keeping the headlines. You know what? Oh, putting on the shades? Quick side note. I've never had a pair of, I'm not a shades guy, but I had to buy a pair of prescription sunglasses because I play tennis during the day and the sun's in my eyes and I can't see. And I just got my hair cut, but my hair gets really froey. So lately I've been wearing these crazy orange and like red and just lime shirts. And I wear a headband because I sweat a lot. With these shades, I look like a Jim McMahon. And I forget, right? I play tennis. Who really cares? And the other day, Lori called me. I'm driving home. I'm not sure if I can pull up a photo. I look like a complete idiot. But no, whatever. No one's around. And Lori goes, hey, can you go in the grocery store and, you know, get some milk? I'm like, yeah, baby, I got you. I'll go in the old grocery store. And I'm in the grocery store, and I'm like, why are people staring at me? They must be big fans of CBS Sports HQ. This is great. Like, I think I'm getting recognized. And then, you catch yourself in, like, the reflection when you're getting the milk or whatever. And I'm like, oh, no, I just look like a total D-bag. Like, I look like I should have been hanging out with Miles Teller in that clip. Like, I should have been badly, badly singing.
God, I wish we could know what people who don't know you are waiting to play tennis against you think, and you show up dressed like that. They must immediately assume they're about to win 6-love, 6-love.
Oh, they do. I mean, it's not an intentional. I'm going to try to find one of these. It's not an intentional strategy, although I think I've talked about this.
Be.
I'm not, what's the word I'm looking for? In shape or attractive or even remotely impressive as a specimen. And I will wear intentionally tight tennis shirts so here's one. See, but it, you know, it's not, it doesn't have the shades. It doesn't have the full effect.
Man. No.
Yes, yeah. Though.
Yeah, no, I look like a complete goofball. I bet probably because I am a complete goofball. But I wear the tight shirt, right? A little beer belly sticking out. You know, I'm not that tall. I'm also, if I may brag on myself, I am shockingly fast. Like I don't look athletic at all. I'm probably not, but I can move, right? Maybe it's running away from bullies when I don't know. I don't know what the deal is. And so there's nothing like getting out there and just, I've had people tell me, like they're complimenting me afterwards. Like I'm walking off like, bro, you move really fast for a fat guy. I'm not fat, but like for a guy who's never, you know, or I'll be going to, I'll play in a match and someone will come by. Hey, don't let his stomach fool you. He can move. Thanks, Dennis. Dennis, who also cheats all the time. Thanks, Dennis. Anyway, I digress. I'm going to send you some of these photos, Bogus. While you do this update, I'm going to send you some photos of me just looking like Jimmy.
Oh,
McMahon.
I can't wait. So we just heard from Aaron Rodgers. How about some other NFL news? Antonio Brown has passed his physical and formally re-signing with the Buccaneers this morning. They agreed to terms last month, but Brown needed surgery last week for a torn meniscus, delaying things. The one-year deal guarantees him $3.1 million. $1 million. After going to overtime in Game 1, Game 2 for the Bucks and Heat might have been over after just 12 minutes. Milwaukee led 46-20 after the first quarter, winning 132-98. Jimmy Butler has Miami's silver lining.
We know what we have to do better. You know, I think the bright spot is I don't think you could play any worse.
Not much drama in the nightcap either. The Nuggets salvaging a split at home, 128-109 over the Blazers. They got 32 points from Damian Lillard in the first half, but only 10 in the second after Denver put Aaron Gordon on him. Tonight, Game 2 in Brooklyn, Phoenix, and L.A., the Nets, Suns, and Mavs going for 2-0 leads on the Celtics, Lakers, and Clippers. The longest game of this NHL postseason happened last night. The Jets and Oilers in triple OT in Winnipeg, with Edmonton needing to win to survive.
And there's a breakaway or a partial breakaway for Kyle Connor. He darts in, let a shot go. He scores! Kyle Connor is the series hero! Winnipeg, for the third straight game, has won in overtime tonight!
That's Paul Edmonds on Jets Radio. Kyle Connor and Winnipeg, a 3-2 win in triple OT. Make that 4-3 in triple OT for a four-game sweep. Just double OT in Pittsburgh. The Islanders down the Penguins 3-2 for a 3-2 lead. The Wild winning in Vegas 4-2 after the Panthers beat the Lightning 4-1. Minnesota and Florida now down 3-2. And the Leafs took a 2-1 lead with a 2-1 win in Montreal. Tony La Russa used to manage the Cardinals. About six decades later, he's managing the White Sox. Chicago beat St. Louis last night 5-1. The Brewers snapping the Padres' 9-game win streak 5-3. And the Mariners snapped their 6-game skid 4-2 in Oakland. And I guess some soccer fans, some soccer media trying to decipher a Ronaldo Instagram post today. He finished a long reflection on Juventus' season with, "Thanks to everyone who took part in this journey," leading some to wonder if he might be leaving with 1 year left on his contract. Ronaldo led Serie A in scoring, but took heat when Juventus was knocked out of the Champions League and failed to win Serie A, I think, for a 10th consecutive year. So, Bill, in your pictures, back to you.
Bogus, yeah, those are the shades. Not to correct you, because I thought the update was great, but I believe in Italy they refer to him as Ronaldo away. I'm getting this out. You can sell it. Sell it, Tom.
I don't think it warrants a sell. Step it just up doesn't and sell. Warrant a buy either.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just going to pass.
Yeah.
Felt good.
Check.
I need option three.
Shocking. Shocking, Bogus. I'll pass. Oh, Bogus, what do you think about pass? Okay. Sounds great. All right, Andrew Bogus. At Andrew Bogus on Twitter. Let's do, have a go, dude. Let's do buy or sell next on CBS Sports Radio.
What side will Bill take on the biggest issues in the world of sports? It's time for today's edition of Buy or Sell on Writer Than You.
Let's stick with the Rays and Jays you just mentioned. Tampa continued their hot streak with that dramatic extra inning win against the Blue Jays yesterday, scoring 7 runs in the 11th inning to claim their 11th consecutive victory. Meanwhile, for the Jays, the loss ended their stay in Dunedin, Florida, where they were forced to start the season due to COVID travel regulations. The Blue Jays will now shift their operations back to Buffalo for the remainder of the season, which is where they were last year. They were 17-9 there last year in the shortened season. They were only 10-11 in Dunedin so far this year. They're currently 23-23 overall. Buy or sell, the move back to Buffalo will have a tangible impact on the Jays' record over the rest of the summer.
I guess I'll buy it. Maybe the idea and the proximity to where they're actually supposed to play. I mean, where they're playing now might as well be another universe.
A fun series starts tonight between the Astros and Dodgers in Houston and begins with a very intriguing veteran pitching matchup. It'll be Clayton Kershaw versus Zach Greinke in this one tonight. LA enters on a 7-game win streak while Houston is on a 3-game slide after very recently being on fire themselves. Kershaw's holding a 3.18 ERA on the year so far. Greinke has a 3.77 after a very good April, has been a little bit weak in May so far. Buy or sell, Kershaw outpitches Greinke tonight.
100%.
Buy.
Although it's a pretty legit rivalry. I mean, these guys, not them personally, but the Dodgers and Greinke do not have a great relationship. There's bad blood there. Greinke left several years ago simply to take more money and go to an in-division rival. And Greinke, by the way, Greinke tends to pitch well against the Dodgers. But I think Kershaw had his one bad outing of this half of baseball, maybe the year. He gave up 4 runs in an inning last week or the week before. He was locked in the next outing. He'll be locked in this outing, too.
As we've mentioned on the show, speculation continues to link Aaron Rodgers to the Broncos, continuing a busy offseason of QB buzz in Denver, but incumbent quarterback Drew Locke has tried to spin that talk into a motivating positive this season, revamping his offseason workout program and even working with one Peyton Manning.
I decided that I was going to develop a plan in this offseason. There were going to be really long days, but it was going to be worth every single second of it, because regardless of what happened, if I stayed here, if I left, they brought someone in, my mindset was not going to change. As far as working with Peyton, I think him being able to give me his time was worth a lot to my game. It was worth more than I think I'll ever realize, and I'm forever grateful for him being able to do that for me and taking the time out of his day to be able to do that.
Buy or sell, Peyton Manning's mentorship of Drew Locke gives you any more confidence about his future?
I'm going to sell that.
Sell.
I have almost no confidence in his future, which is too bad because of where he played his college football. Look, very cool, Peyton Manning, and maybe there's a turnaround effect, but I count me skeptical.
Jordan Clarkson of the Jazz was awarded Sixth Man of the Year yesterday, actually getting surprised during his media availability by teammate Joe Ingles, who finished second in the voting, followed by Derrick Rose of the Knicks. But many thought it was actually Ingles who should have won. That includes former Grizzlies VP of basketball ops John Hollinger, who tweeted, quote, "I don't think anyone who watched the Jazz all year would have voted for Clarkson," end quote. Buy or sell, Jordan Clarkson is a deserving Sixth Man of the Year.
I will sell. I had a vote.
Sell.
Look, good for him. I watched a lot of their games, and I voted for Ingles. And I don't really know Hollinger, right? That's not a guy that I was ever social with. He's a really bright guy. We probably see the game a little bit differently, like a lot of people do. He's very, very, very analytically driven, and I'm just not smart enough to see it at that level that way. But, yeah, I thought Ingles, I mean, it's such an eye test, right? It's the eye test over the course of, I didn't watch 72 games, but I mean, there are seven or eight teams that if I didn't watch part of a game, I would go back and watch the reduced highlight, or I'd go watch a quarter, right? Just try to know what the hell I'm talking about. And that was, the Jazz are one of those teams. My sixth man of the year was Ingles, Clarkson, Brunson was my list. And I did not put Derrick Rose on there. So, yeah, I think it should have been Ingles.
Looking ahead to the excellent playoff games tonight. Earlier in the show, we discussed at length the Lakers versus Suns series, which looks like a toss-up. It resumes tonight in Phoenix with the Suns holding the 1-0 lead. LA began as Vegas favorites. Now things are pretty much a coin flip to the odds makers, and things could certainly hinge on tonight's game too. Buy or sell, it's fair to say that the winner of tonight's game will win the series.
Ooh, that's a great question. I don't think there's a strong correlation in this particular series, but I think it will go that way, so I'll buy it.
Buy!
Maybe that means there is a correlation. I just talked myself into coming around to your perspective, Tom. It's more like if the Suns win the game, they're going to win the series. Barring Chris Paul getting hurt, or hurt again. The thing about the Chris Paul injury is it's significant, and I think it's the difference maker, but it's also hard to have a lot of confidence that both Anthony Davis and LeBron James are going to be healthy for the entirety of any series. LeBron looks hobbled, though I think he can fight through it. And Anthony Davis, and maybe it's not even physical injury, but every time he misses a shot or goes down and pulls his back, or I mean, he'll like, oh, my ankle, and then after the game, like, oh, it's just my elbow. Is it? Or are you just a head case again? Like, it is. It's hard to tell.
We all went through it in the bubble playoffs, too. Like, he went down how many times in that bubble run and got up? Maybe it was. It kind of felt like it was a miracle that he made it to the end. Maybe it actually kind of was.
It might have been.
All right, so the Lakers aren't the only L.A. team in a very urgent spot tonight. The Clippers need to bounce back from a tough Game 1 loss to the Mavericks. Luka Doncic was the scoring star and leader of that game, racking up 31 points but needing 24 shots to do so. Kawhi Leonard had 26, and Paul George had 23 in that Game 1. Buy or sell, Doncic outscores both Kawhi and Paul George again tonight.
Buy.
Buy.
I think the Clippers are probably going to win. Let me ask you this. Let me ask you a question, Tom Benedetto. Buy that if the Clippers lose or win this series or multiple series going forward in the winning case, that it will say more about Paul George than Ty Lue.
Buy.
I totally agree with that. It's going to come down to him. Ty Lue is the shepherd, but the person who needs to make the plays that's going to make this team a winner, it's not even Kawhi. It's Paul George. It's playoff P.
if we don't lean into this very often because when you have friends in the business, you don't want to take advantage of them. But if the Clippers lose, we're going to have to get Ty Lue, air quotes, Ty Lue on the phone again tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. That I can do.
Okay. I'll send him a little text. If I send him a text, I mean I'll look for you to grab that sound and we'll take him out of context. It'll be fun. By the way, the Ingles-Clarkson thing was great TV. I don't know if you saw it, Tom. Ingles surprising Clarkson in on the gag. And I've sat in front of a lot of NBA players and a lot of NBA players together. And you can't fake that kind of chemistry on camera, right? Those guys actually like each other. And people are competitive. Athletes are competitive. One guy just beat another guy for an award that's significant. And like the love and the joy they had for each other, that speaks really well for that team. And teams that, and that's the thing about the Lakers. I don't know if they like each other because I don't know if they know each other. They haven't played together a lot. All right, fun show. Funny show today. We always enjoy hanging out with you, coming into your world. Thank you for listening. We'll be back tomorrow. Andrew Bogish, Tom DiBenedetto. I'm Bill Ryder. The show is Ryder Than You. We hope to see you back here on CBS Sports Radio.